Shalom, brothers and sisters, and thank you for listening to a 12 Tribes of Israel audio. Today's topic is an important topic for those that are listeners of our audio and viewers of the website, because when teaching the scriptures, we are commanded to actually go over the scripture by our Messiah and King of Israel. And we're going to read it in Matthew chapter 26, verse 6, the commandment that was given to the teachers of the Bible. Okay, let's read that. Matthew 26 and verse 6.
Matthew chapter 26 and verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment.
When it says, now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of a very precious ointment. Now, when you read this chapter, it's basically one of the chapters that lead up to the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, of our King. And it says here that he was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. We want you to remember that because we're going to read another chapter in the book of John that is going to reference the same thing that we're reading here. So it says, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of a very precious ointment. Notice that it did not give us the name here of this woman. It just told us that she was a woman. And she had a very precious ointment, meaning an ointment or oil that cost a lot, that was costly. Okay, let's read on.
And poured it on his head as he sat at meat.
So she poured the oil on his head, which is a custom in Israel, while he sat at meat, meaning while he sat and ate. Let's read on. Read.
Verse 8. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose was this waste?
Right, because this ointment was very, very, very expensive. So they were questioning themselves, saying, why are we wasting this oil?
Verse 9. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.
Right, so it seems like a valid reason of why they're questioning the choice that the woman made in giving this oil to Christ, in pouring it upon his head. Let's now read, who is this woman? Who was saying, is this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor? We're going to go to the book of St. John, chapter 12, and we're going to begin at verse 1. Because in St. John, it gives us a little bit more detail about what took place in Matthew chapter 26. So we're in St. John, chapter 12, and verse 1.
St. John's chapter 12, and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany.
Now, it's showing you that basically these are the steps that took place before he was crucified on the Passover. Because believe it or not, Christ kept the Passover. That's why he was going toward Jerusalem by the way of Bethany. So it says 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, read on,
where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead.
So he was there sitting with Lazarus, who had been dead. It says, whom he raised from the dead. Remember, if you read the chapter before, in St. John chapter 11, Lazarus literally was dead. His sister said, his body stinks at this point. And Christ said, don't worry about that. If you believe, Lazarus shall live again. Continue reading.
Verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him.
Right, so Martha and Lazarus, and of course we're going to read the next sister of Lazarus, which is Mary, were there. And they were serving Christ this food. They were hosting a meal for him. They were being hospitable. So the Bible is showing us basically what took place in Matthew 26. Let's read on.
Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly.
Very costly, meaning this was very expensive. So Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard. Even to this day, if you go and try to buy some of this spikenard, it's very expensive. It says very costly, and what?
And anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment.
Read on.
Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him.
So now it says that one of his disciples, and particularly Judas Iscariot, the one that what? Betrayed Christ, which should betray him, said what?
Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?
So it's showing you the amount that it could have been sold for. And he says, why was not this sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He is giving him a reason of why this ointment should have not been wasted on Christ. Let's see what was his real motive, though, for saying this. Read.
Verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor.
So showing you basically that you're going to have some brothers, some sisters that are of the nation of Israel that are not going to be sincere in their love for their people. Okay, they might say things that sound like they have our people in the best interest, but in reality, guess what? They are not caring for the poor. They're not caring for our nation. It says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, read.
But because he was a thief.
Because he was what?
A thief.
So he was a thief, meaning he stole. Like the commandment says, thou shalt not steal. That's what Judas was doing, meaning he was in sin. So the reason he wanted that ointment, it wasn't to give the money to the poor and distribute the wealth that they could get from this very costly oil, but it was to basically keep the oil and sell it and keep the money for himself. Just like you have these pulpit pimps in your churches, they're thieves. They're basically teaching you lies and teaching you that they love you and that God loves you, but they won't teach you the commandments, the laws, the statutes, the things that are required by the true teachers of the Heavenly Father. Let's read on.
But because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein.
And hear that? And had the bag. So meaning he was the treasurer. He was the one that took the money in. He was the one that distributed whatever was in the bag. He said it had the bag and bear that was put in. It was in his possession whatsoever came in. You know, what worse can it be that he has the worst position? Because he's a thief, and if you're a thief, you covet, meaning you desire the things that are not yours. And how can he be put in that position, in a position that someone that should be trusted when he's a thief? It's not possible that a person that has that spirit could fulfill that job. Likewise, what the scriptures is teaching us by this example is that a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, those that set forth doctrines cannot fulfill their duties unless they are within the laws of the Most High, unless they are pure. How can Israel recover themselves from the condition that they're in if our people are thieves? Hold your spot here in John chapter 12. Let's go to John chapter 10 real quickly. Because in the time period of our Messiah, of Christ, there were some teachers that were set up and some elders that were set up in the nation of Israel by the name of Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes. Pharisees and Sadducees were Israelite groups and sects, but they were not sincere in teaching the people. They were not sincere in the laws of the Most High. So let's read real quick John chapter 10, and let's read verse 1.
John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
So now it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door. What is the door? What is he referring to when he says, he that entereth not by the door? Let's jump down to verse 7. Let's read that.
Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
So now the scripture is showing us the understanding of the door, which is the door is the Messiah, is Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, meaning he that is not teaching according to the Most High's commandments or according to the doctrine of Christ, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. If within our nation, if there be any brothers or that want to be teachers or prophets or whatever title they desire, and they go any other way to get to this position, you know, they get titles by, you know, separating themselves, by sowing discord, by seeking disciples unto themselves. The scripture says that they are what? The same as what?
The same as a thief and a robber.
The same as a thief and a robber, meaning the same as the spirit of Judas. Because Judas, he was not concerned with the people. Although it sounded like he was, what he said sounded so good and so caring. But in reality, his wickedness was within him. He was greedy. He was basically seeking of his own. not seeking those things which are of Christ. So the scripture is teaching us that if any tries to become a teacher or a prophet without the Most High sending them, he is a thief and a robber. Let's jump down real quick to verse 8.
All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them.
Right, so what that's teaching us is that you're going to have some brothers that are going to set themselves up as teachers among the nation of Israel, as prophets, and all types of titles that they may possess. The scripture says that they are thieves and robbers. And those that are meant to be called unto this truth, the elect of the Most High, that were known from the beginning, they're not going to hear these false teachers. You know why? Because they will be able to discern that this man or this prophet or this teacher is not of the Most High through the laws, through the words of the Most High. Continue reading.
I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved.
Right. So now Israel at that time period had the Pharisees and Sadducees who were trying to teach them. Christ was basically telling them, listen, they're robbers, they're thieves, and they're not leading you into the way of salvation. I am the way of salvation. I am the door. To get to the kingdom, you got to come through me. Continue reading.
And shall go in and out and find pasture.
Now, let's give an example of how today you have thieves and robbers that have tried to climb the fence and not go through the door, not go through Christ. You have Israelite teachers and prophets and mores and all types of men that know they're Israel and know that they should be keeping the commandments, but they reject the Messiah. They reject the coming of our King. They said, no, that guy JC, he's just a Greek mythology, or that guy JC was a Roman, he was not an Israelite. And they come up with all these type of doctrines that are not established within the scriptures. The scripture's telling you, you're trying to climb up the way, you know, you're trying to go into the way that is not according to the Most High. Because when you go back to the prophecies, you're going to find out that this JC that you reject, or whatever other name that you try to put upon him, he is the way to salvation. Because the Most High set him up to be that for our people. It's not of his own power. It's not of his own might, but it's of the Most High who is causing all these things to come to pass. All right, so that's an example, brothers and sisters, of you that listen, that if you come across any brothers and sisters teaching, you don't need to believe in Christ. You don't need to believe in the Messiah. Then they are a thief and a robber. You know, some of you might come across those that believe that they are Christ, that they are the Messiah. That's also a thief and a robber. All right, continue reading.
Verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Right, because the gospel, the good news that is being taught throughout the world via the internet, via audio, is that Christ have come, not that you should be destroyed, but that the Most High might give you the opportunity to receive everlasting life. And the way you're going to get that is by repentance. Once you acknowledge your transgressions, your sins, the wrong that you have been doing, once you've learned how you've been offending God by your lifestyle, you're being given the second chance to actually change your way, reform yourself, and now do what? Keep His laws. That's the way that the Most High is going to make you to receive everlasting life and the everlasting kingdom. Let's go back to St. John chapter 12. And I want to read verse 3 once more.
John chapter 12 and verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus.
Stop. So now we know that the woman that anointed Christ, according to Matthew chapter 26, it just said woman. But John is telling us that this woman was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. She came and anointed the Messiah with this ointment that was very costly. What kind of ointment? Spikenard. Continue reading.
And wiped his feet with her hair.
And she wiped his feet with her hair. Okay, showing you that she had submitted herself to Christ. She's showing humility. She's showing also care for him. Read.
And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment.
And the house was filled with the odor, meaning with the smell of the ointment, of the oil. Let's read that real quick. Because some brothers and sisters go, well, who cares about this woman anointing some man with ointment? We're going to the book of Songs of Solomon to show you that it was important for it to happen, to take place. So we're going to Songs of Solomon chapter 1 to read about this. Songs of Solomon chapter 1, and let's read verse 12.
Songs of Solomon 1 and verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table.
While the king sitteth at his table. Read.
My spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof.
You hear that, Israel? This is a prophecy of your king. How when he was sitting at the table in the midst of Israel, before his crucifixion, he was going to be anointed, you know, given this ointment upon his head, upon his feet, that was going to give this great smell all throughout the house. So showing you, Israel, that when you have brothers and sisters talking about, well, the Bible, you know, the so-called Old Testament doesn't speak about Christ, they're lying to you. Because guess what? It does speak of Christ. The whole volume of the book is about the Messiah and showing us how the Most High intended for him to come and do his duty and also to redeem his people. So let's go from there. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 26. That shows you that Sister Mary had the Spirit of the Most High in her to actually guide her to do this great work. Because you know, 300 pence was an amount. Like, you see how in today's society you have a year's salary? That's how much 300 pence was for back then. A year's salary. That's a lot of money. Okay, she gave up a year's salary to pour oil on the Messiah, showing you how much important it was for her to basically fulfill the prophecy of the scriptures. So we're back in Matthew 26, and let's read verse 9.
Verse 9. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.
So now it's saying that this ointment might be sold for much but given to the poor. Now we know that Judas was basically, you know, speaking this among the disciples and having the disciples riled up and saying, yeah, man, we could have sold this for 300 pence. We could have furthered the truth. We could have helped the poor. And in reality, he wasn't even thinking about that. He just wanted to keep it for himself, keep the money. Continue reading.
When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you the woman?
When he understood the real reason it was that it's being said, he said, why trouble ye the woman? Meaning, why bother ye the sister? Read.
For she hath wrought a good work upon me.
Meaning, she hath worked a good work upon me. Meaning, what she did was actually in accordance to the Most High's prophecy. That's very important for us to see. Because guess what? In these last days, you're going to have a lot of brothers who are meant to be teachers over our nation. And the reason that they are teachers is not because they set themselves up. It's because the prophecies of the Most High talked about how he will give us pastors in these last days to teach you according to his wisdom and his knowledge, according to his law, basically, to make it plain. And you're going to be able to see this by their teachings and by their walk. That's how you're going to be able to tell these things. All right, continue reading.
For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always.
Right, because the disciples had to understand that Christ was about to be crucified and that physically he was not going to be with them always. Spiritually, he's always there with us. Remember he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So when he says, ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. So in other words, making them understand that this was something that had to be done before he dies. But the poor of our nation will always be here. It's showing you that you Israelites, you so-called blacks and Hispanics, you Native Americans, whatever false nationalities you're going under now, you are the ones that are in poverty due to the fact that the Most High has brought you there. He's the one that's also going to what? Take you out of that poverty. That's why he said you will always have the poor among you. Meaning Christ understood that Israel will always be in poverty. They'll always be in the ghettos, in the slums, as long as they continue to break the Heavenly Father's laws. Read on.
Verse 12. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial.
So he's explaining it. He said, the reason she did this is to fulfill the prophecies before I die. Okay, she anointed my body for my burial. She's preparing me for my death. Continue reading.
Verse 13, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world.
Stop. Verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, wheresoever, meaning whatever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world. What is the gospel? We just read some of it in John 10. He told you that he came to give you life, that he came to give you salvation. He's the door. Now let's understand something real quick, because you have some brothers that don't believe in the Messiah, and they say, he was anointed by a woman? Said, that doesn't make him holy. That doesn't make him a king. He was not anointed as a king to be the king. Well, let's show real quick, what anointing did the Messiah have? We're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 4. And you can read the same thing that we were about to read in Luke in Isaiah. Okay, just to show you that the word of the Most High is from Genesis all the way to Revelations. That includes the Apocrypha. So we're going to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to read straight to the point, verse 18. Actually, let's start at verse 17.
Luke chapter 4 and verse
17.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
So now, when the book, notice that Christ studied the scriptures. Okay, he wasn't coming out of his own vain mind. He was coming out of the Most High's word. And it says that the prophet of Isaiah, the book of that prophet, was given to him. And he found a place where it was written. That place is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Read.
Because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
You hear that? Christ was truly the door. He was the true shepherd. He was the true teacher. While Judas, he was a peon, a false one, a thief, a robber that came to what? Kill and destroy our people. But Christ was the one that sent out by the Most High to preach the gospel, the good news, the good tidings, like the scripture says, to the poor, meaning to you Israelites. So the anointed of the Messiah, the anointing of Christ, is greater than spikenard. Because as you can see, the spikenard was something that was written in the Word. It was written in Songs of Solomon. It was written in the law of the Most High. And that shows you that basically there was something greater than just oil. Greater than olive oil being mixed with spikenard. It's something greater than that. He was not anointed by the Spirit of the Most High through the oil. He was anointed from birth for this purpose. Just like Jeremiah, when you read in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he was meant to be the prophet of the nation that Moses spoke of, Jeremiah spoke of, Isaiah spoke of, and even in the Psalms. Let's read on in Luke 4 and 18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
Right, you so-called blacks and Hispanics, you have issues. Your spirit and your mind are broken. You got, you know, people that are going through problems. And the way they're going to be healed of their mental issues or mental problems or emotional problems is through the gospel, through the good news that Christ gave us. Because the word of the Most High covers every topic that Israel is suffering. So it says, to heal the brokenhearted,
to preach deliverance to the captives.
You know what the word captives mean? The word captives means slave. Those held in chains. To preach deliverance, to preach salvation to those that were slaves. You, so-called blacks and Hispanics, Native Americans, you were slaves. And the Most High is giving you the good news through the anointing of the King of Israel. Continue.
And recovering of sight to the blind.
And to give sight to the blind, whether it be spiritual and physical. Because our people are blind and not seeing that they're being lied to. Read.
To set at liberty them that are bruised.
To set at liberty them that are bruised. You know where you bruise from? You bruise by your preachers and your family members. You know, you basically hurt. That's what the word bruise means. Just like when somebody might punch you in your arm and it gives you a black and blue. That's a bruise. you have been bruised by this society. You have been brokenhearted. You have been captives. You have been slaves in spirit and in mind, in body and in soul. Read on.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Right, the acceptable year of the Lord is the day when Christ returns to give us salvation and the kingdom. Not everybody is given that opportunity to actually preach that gospel. Like as the Most High sent Christ to teach the gospel, he also have men out there that he has sent forth to do the same. Let's read that real quick. Romans chapter 10. Alright, we're going to get straight to the point, Romans 10. And we're just going to read verse 14 down. Romans 10 verse 14.
Romans chapter 10 verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Right, how shall Israel call on the Most High, pray to the Most High, if they have not believed on him, if they have not known him, if they not have been taught of him? Read.
And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard?
Right, how are they going to say we are Israelites except they have heard someone teach it to them? Continue.
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Right, because Christ is not here to actually physically go out in the streets or go out and make these audio recordings or video recordings to have you understand who the Most High is, who you are. So therefore, there has to be someone sent by Christ to fulfill that job and that duty in these last days. Continue.
Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent?
Right, because anybody could set up a church. Anybody could set up, you know, themselves as a prophet or a teacher. But how shall they be sent by the Most High in Christ except they were meant to be sent? Because Judas, he was chosen by Christ to actually go out and preach and heal to the children of Israel, to the lost tribes of the children of Israel. But he knew that this man was not meant to be what? A teacher. Didn't he say at one point, I've chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil? So in other words, Christ understood that there's some are going to be what? Taught by certain teachers that are not meant to really be teachers. You might learn, you know, that you're an Israelite by certain brothers. You might learn that, you know, certain teachings from the scriptures by certain men. But are these men really sent by Christ? And the way you could tell is by the laws of the Most High. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. It gave you a requirement of what a bishop is, of elder, what a deacon is. It gave you those requirements so that you would be able to say, well, this brother is not supposed to be in that predicament, or he's not supposed to be a teacher in the nation of Israel. Continue.
As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Right, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That's why when you read in John, Mary did what? She anointed his feet and wiped it with her hair. Because she understood that his feet were what? Was beautiful. Okay, she appreciated the teacher, which was Christ. Not many did that in those days. Today, a lot of us accept Christ as the Messiah, accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and the Hebrew name Yahawashah as the Messiah. But how many of us would have been offended if we were back then of his teachings? How many of us will have really followed him and actually been a disciple of him? You got to think the same way about yourself now. Are you truly a disciple of Christ? Are you truly following his teachings? Are you offended at what he says? And some of us are. That's why we go and seek in Israelite groups that fit our own personal feelings and our own personal emotions and things of that nature. That's not how you build a nation. That's not how you set up a nation. That's scattering our nation. When you have different teachers teaching according to their own vain opinion and not according to what the word of the Most High say. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, where is this written? In the prophets. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. The word glad tidings means the same thing as gospel. Meaning do the same things as what Christ was doing. Preaching deliverance to the captives. Healing the minds of our people, the brokenhearted, the bruised. It says how to bring good tidings, glad tidings, and good things. Okay, what is the good things? The law. All right, from there, go to chapter 12 real quick, Ak. Chapter 12, and straight to the point, we're going to go to verse 6.
Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Having then gift differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith.
So when the scripture says having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, what that means is that within the nation of Israel, you're going to have different brothers that will have different gifts. What does that mean by different gifts? Different abilities. And Paul has given us one specific one here. He's saying that if you have the spirit of prophecy, meaning that you are a prophet unto the Most High, he said, then do it according to the proportion. The word proportion means according to your ability, according to your measure of faith. You're going to have some brothers that are meant to be teachers and not meant to be elders. You're going to have some that are meant to be elders and not meant to be evangelists, so on and so forth. Continue.
Verse 7. Or ministry. Let us wait on our ministering.
Right. If you have the desire to become a teacher of the nation of Israel, the way you do that is not by setting up yourself. The way you do that is by coming together with your brothers that are already teachers, that are already disciples, trading your talents and sharing the wisdom that has been given to you by the Most High. Some of you have to wait until the time when you have been taught the principles, the first things of the doctrines of the scriptures. And as you grow in the faith, then your time will come when you could also be teachers. The reason there's a lot of different Israelite groups, brothers and sisters, is because of the fact that some have not waited to the time when the Most High appointed them to be teachers. Some have not been taught. Some brothers are self-taught in certain things. And that's the reason why the scripture says in the multitude of counselors there is safety. There's no safety when you have one brother that is proud and does not acknowledge that there's different portions of the body. Different brothers that have different gifts, that have different abilities, and that could help each other to become that one body, that one nation, to be built up to resemble Christ, to resemble the Messiah. Okay, continue reading.
Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching.
Right, or he that teacheth on teaching. Because when you read in the scriptures, there was a lot of prophets that were during the same time period, and they all taught the same thing. When have you read Isaiah contradicting Jeremiah? Matter of fact, I shouldn't say Isaiah contradicting Jeremiah because they were in two different time periods. Let me use Isaiah contradicting Micah. Do you read about Isaiah contradicting Micah? No. When you read Isaiah chapter 2, it's word for word until a certain portion of what Micah was saying in chapter 4. They were resembling each other. But these men had the spirit of humility, and they all shared the same ability, and they all shared the wisdom with each other to the point where they were growing in faith. That's why all the prophets from the beginning all the way to the end speak of the Messiah and speak of his coming, of his suffering, of his birth, of everything that was foretold. So we have to, as a nation, be wise and not simple. Once we come out of this world, we have a lot of baggage that has been taught to us, a lot of philosophies of men. Remember, this world has been taught a doctrine. And guess who taught it to you? Let's read it, Revelation chapter 12. Because he said, whatsoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world. There has been already doctrines that have reached the whole world, that has been taught to the whole world. And who taught us this doctrine? Let's go to Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to get straight to the point on that also. Verse 9.
Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world.
That what?
Which deceived the whole world.
So here it is. It's plain and simple. Satan has been teaching the whole world. You look at every philosophy, every religion, every doctrine out there, it resembles each other. It is practically the same. It is not the truth that has been written in the scriptures. There's many doctrines that we can mention today, but just to name a few. our nationality has been taken away from us. That's a doctrine that the world in general holds against us. The laws, statutes, and commandments. That's a doctrine that the world has said we don't have to keep. Many other things that the world has taught that our people are still holding on to and have not shed off, have not put off, because they have not been taught properly. And when they do come across the teachers, they get offended, as when Christ was on this earth, they got offended at his words, even though they weren't really his. So let's go back to Matthew 26, and let's read that verse again. Because he said, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world," read that again.
Verse 13, "Verily say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told of her, a memorial of her."
You hear that? That's the commandment given to the teachers. That whatsoever the gospel, wheresoever you teach, any place you teach this good news of Christ in the world, you also have to go over and remind the people of this woman. Because in our nation, in Israel, you have a household that is divided. Okay, the men against the women, the children against the parents. And this is due to the fact that we have been brought up in a slave mind, a mind that has not been taught the commandments and how to act properly with each other. Not only this, you have some brothers that believe that the women of our nation of Israel are not important. And that's not true. Because Christ is showing us right here about this woman, how we have to remind ourselves of the memorial that she did this as what? As to prepare him for his crucifixion. And if we remind ourselves of this, we're not only reminding ourselves of what she did, but also of the prophecy. We're also reminding ourselves of our duties if we are teachers. We're also reminding ourselves of the doctrines that have been already established in this world. Real quick, let's go to Matthew chapter 24 to read one statement that Christ said about the gospel when it reached the whole world. So Matthew 24 and verse 14, that's what we're going to read.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations."
So notice what the scripture says. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations." Why all nations? Because the reason being is that Israel was going to be scattered throughout the four corners of the earth due to slavery and to other things. All right. So the scripture says that the gospel has to reach this whole world. If you look at every philosophy that calls himself Christian, whether it be Roman Catholic, whether it be Baptist, whether it be Pentecostal, whether it be Jehovah Witness, it has reached the whole world. Okay, everybody is aware of it. Everybody knows the philosophy and the teachings. Even the Muslim doctrine, it has reached the whole world. Let's see what the scriptures say.
"And then shall the end come."
So showing you that these doctrines are not of the Most High, because the end has not yet come. So who is this world that the scriptures is focusing on? The world is referring to Israel. When the gospel reached the Israelites, in particular, the 144,000 leaders of the nation of Israel who are going to be judges among our nation, then the end is really near. Why? Because our nation is becoming one people. Our nation is reaching to the point where a kingdom is being established here on earth. And that is our purpose and our gospel to those brothers and sisters that listen to our audio and that keep in touch with us and are trying to become one body. We're not too far from you. We are brothers and sisters that are ambassadors of Christ and want you to become one with us, to be in one accord with us, and to fellowship with us. And that's the purpose of these audios. So as a commandment, Christ told us, speak of this. Remind the people of what this woman Mary had done. Because if we read this to you, not only are we acknowledging that Christ is the Messiah, but we also acknowledging that we should appreciate the teachers that the Most High has given us in these last days. For how good is it and how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. So with that, brothers and sisters, we thank you for listening to this RiseIsrael.com podcast. And we say both shalom to you.
Shalom.